Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, continuing in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The Beatitudes provide for us a series of character traits, if you will, attributes that are said to be blessed in the sight of God. And blessed in the sense that there are blessings that come to those who develop these traits in their character. We want to think about being merciful today. The idea of mercy and having that quality. Blessed are the merciful. And I just have some observations for us to think about as we consider this saying. And first of all, it is really about one's character. It is something that ought to be seen as a settled disposition in our hearts as we think about others and our relationship to others, is that we are people who are merciful in our character. And this doesn't mean that this is something that's capricious or arbitrary or selective, that we decide who we're going to show mercy to, people that we just like. So I'm going to be merciful to this person. Quite the contrary. We live in a world that is in many ways driven by self-seeking principles. People tend to do things based on what they can get out of it. And yet, most people are capable of occasional compassion toward others, being compassionate or merciful, depending on the circumstances and who it might be. But for a disciple of Jesus Christ, the merciful spirit should be something that characterizes our attitude to all people at all times. Because that's what Jesus did. And the point is that mercy is not based on merit. Mercy is not something that we bestow on someone because they in any way deserve it. In fact, by definition, the reason mercy is needed is because it's undeserved. The story is told about in the days of Napoleon that a mother approached Napoleon one time and seeking a pardon for her son. And the Emperor Napoleon replied that this young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice was demanded. It has to be justice. So the mother said, I don't ask for justice, I plead for mercy. Not asking for justice, I plead for mercy. And he said, well, your son does not deserve mercy. To which the woman cried out, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. So the emperor said, well, I'll have mercy. And he spared the woman's son. In Matthew 9, we have an occasion when Jesus was in the home of a tax collector. And it's the place where he makes the famous statement that, that those who are sick are the ones who need a physician, not those who are well. People were judging him because he was associating with a sinful person. And then he quotes from the Old Testament where it says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. So the idea of mercy is something that lies at the very heart of the gospel and why Jesus came. And it was to have a way to provide mercy. In fact, a way for him to be both just and the justifier. For justice to be served through the death of his son. So that those who were undeserving could receive mercy. And so the spirit of mercy is based on principle. When we think about the fact that each of us, we're so desperately in need of God's mercy. And if God's mercy is not there, then what chance do we have? And we want to have mercy from men, but especially we need mercy from God. And mercy is a compassion then. It's a sense of compassion that arises from our own sense of gratitude for the mercy that God has shown to us. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. And this is why when Jesus talked about the weightier matters of God's righteousness, one of the things that he included there was mercy. The weightier matters of the law. So mercy is a quality of one's own character. Mercy also shows compassion to those who are helpless. You think about people that have been affected by some disaster and have been just overcome by circumstances of life. Maybe they're hungry, maybe they're sick, maybe they're outcast. We have plenty of examples to go around when we look at this world and we see people that they've gotten a raw deal in life, to say the least. And they're helpless. They're helpless in their situation. Jesus told the story of, in one of his parables, he told the story of the man who had been beaten and left to die. And then two religious people came by, and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. And then the Samaritan came by. The Samaritan was someone most people looked down upon. Samaritans were classed among sinners themselves. Of all the people that showed mercy toward this man who was about to die, who was left on the road to die, it was this Samaritan who showed compassion. It says in Luke 10, verse 33, he showed compassion, that is, he showed mercy on the man. Sometimes mercy, then, is what motivates us to help people that are in need, that can't do for themselves, or that they're having trouble doing for themselves, and they're going through very difficult times. And so mercy is an important quality for us to have in those kinds of cases. Not only is it a quality of one's character and it is showing compassion to the helpless, mercy is very important when we think about extending forgiveness to others. You think about someone who has offended us in some way. They've done something that, even repeatedly, and we just think in our mind, we say, I'm so hurt that this person has just done this. He's done it over and over again. And we say, how can I possibly forgive this? You know, that's just a very important lesson for us to learn, that mercy just offers forgiveness even to those who have repeatedly given offense. Jesus told a parable about that too. Matthew chapter 18, this parable of this unmerciful servant, one who owed a sum of money that was just astronomical. You know, you think about it in terms of millions and millions of dollars in terms of modern day currency, and there's no way he could repay this. And he pleaded for mercy until finally his master forgave him his debt. Clean slate. He turns around and now he's got a fellow servant that owes him a small amount of money. A few bucks. And the sad part of the story is he's unwilling to forgive him. He grabs him by the throat, says, I'm going to throw you into desert prison unless you pay me right now. No mercy. The one who had been shown mercy for much was unwilling to show mercy for a little. Remember that story, don't we? And that's one we should never forget. When we're thinking about whether or not we're going to forgive our fellow man who have wronged us in some way, and we feel so hurt and feel like, well, this person just doesn't deserve to be forgiven, you would just have to remember that God has forgiven us when we did not deserve it. And we need to be ready to extend forgiveness. Be ready to extend forgiveness. That's mercy, even when we have been wronged many, many times. Of course, one of the great manifestations or expressions of mercy is that this is this selfless concern that we ought to have for those who are lost in sin. We ought to feel a sense of concern for those who are lost in sin. The mercy that Jesus had. You know, there was a time when Jesus says he looked out upon the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He says these people are so lost. These people, they don't know which way to turn. And so what did he say? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That passage is one that we often read and we often quote when we want to emphasize the importance of us as the Lord's people, the Lord's church, to be concerned about the lost and to do what we can to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. And Jesus called upon his disciples that I need workers. We have, you know, the field of white and the harvest. Let's do what we can to save these people. Please notice that with Jesus, it all started with a sense of compassion for them, of mercy toward them. He felt sorry for them and felt something had to be done. They're like a sheep, without a shepherd. May that be our heart and our spirit as well, that we have this concern for others, those who are lost in sin. It doesn't matter how depraved they might have become. They need the gospel. And if there are people that are in our orbit of life and people that we have the possibility to influence and show that there's a better way for them to live, that there's a path that they can follow that can change their life for the better and can give them hope of being with the Lord and having their sins forgiven and washed away, then we ought to be the messengers. We ought to be the ones to help them. We can't force them to accept the gospel, but we can certainly show mercy and compassion toward them and their plight. We want to show them, here's what the Lord's done for you. He loves you this much. He showed mercy to this extent. And so we can share the gospel and we can lead others to Christ. And as a matter of fact, in all these other things that we have listed here, you know, helping those who are helpless and downtrodden and offering forgiveness to our brother who has wronged us, we're setting the stage right there. We are giving an example to people that these may be people that we can share the gospel with. You know, people are a lot more willing to listen to someone that has the good news of salvation if they see that this person has the Spirit of Christ and wants to help in other ways too. And to show compassion that way can help us, our concern for those who are lost in sin. That's what Jesus died for. Jesus had compassion. He died for all of us, including those that we see around about us. Merciful, the heart of mercy, the merciful person is the person that says, what can I do to help people in this lost and dying world, one by one? And then finally, mercy will be shown to those who show mercy. You know, here's the thing. If we ourselves want to receive the mercy of God, then we must be merciful. This is what he's saying to us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. The principle that's found all through the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 11:17, it says, the merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. So that's one practical application of it, right there. Jesus says in this beatitude, to paraphrase it another way, he says, how blessed are those who show mercy, mercy shall be shown to them. You want to receive mercy? Be prepared to show mercy. That's what he's saying. And isn't this what Jesus was emphasizing? Isn't this the principle when he taught the prayer? He told them how to pray. They said, show us how to pray. And he says in verse 9, pray then in this way. Chapter 6, verse 9 of Matthew. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And listen, he says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses. Lord, show mercy to us in our trespasses, even as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. And when Jesus finishes giving them that model prayer, he says in verse 14, he emphasizes this point. Here's the application. He says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Don't we realize, don't we take seriously the fact that my salvation depends upon my showing mercy, my willingness to forgive others? If I want God to forgive me of my sins, that's why Jesus died. Make possible for me to have the forgiveness of my sins in order for me to be assured that I need to be ready to forgive. We know that that's true. We know that that's true. Again, mercy toward a fellow man does not mean that we suddenly have earned God's mercy. It's mercy is never about deserving it. It's never something we can merit. But we cannot receive mercy and the forgiveness of God unless we repent. Can we? And we cannot claim to have repented of our sins if we are unmerciful toward the sins of others against us. Well, you have to be ready to do that. Showing mercy is evidence of a penitence that is a condition of God's mercy and God's forgiveness. James 2, verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So in summary, mercy indicates a godly spirit. Godly spirit of one who is merciful, as God is merciful. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 36, he said, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. There's the principle. So blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's certainly a practical lesson, isn't it? You can practice that one just about every day in your life, and I can too. There are many times when we need to remember the mercy that God has shown us so that we can be always ready to extend mercy to our fellow man in so many ways. Wouldn't the world be a better place if that was the case on the part of everybody? That instead of retribution, it's about mercy. So that's our lesson then for this hour, and I appreciate your kind attention today and all the lessons that we have studied and engaged in together. And we're going to stand to sing the invitation song, and if there's anyone that we can help, let us know why we can't stand together and sing.